My guest is novelist Alice McDermott. Her second novel, That Night, takes place in the early 60s in a new suburban Long Island neighborhood. Reviewing That Night for the New York Times, David Levitt wrote that this brief lyrical novel is a kind of elegy to both childhood in suburbia and the childhood of suburbia. What distinguishes this novel from the mass of literature that takes on the barely middle-class suburban experience is the intellectual complexity of McDermott's moral vision and the explicit emotion of her voice. The story is told by a 30-year-old woman recalling an incident that she witnessed when she was 10, the night that a local hood and his gang drove onto the block to force his girlfriend's mother to let him see her. When I spoke with Alice McDermott, I asked her to read the opening of her novel.
That night when he came to claim her, he stood on the short lawn before her house, his knees bent, his fists driven into his thighs, and bellowed her name with such passion that even the friends who surrounded him, who had come to support him, to drag her from the house, to murder her family if they had to, let the chains they carried go limp in their hands. "This is serious," my own father remembered thinking at that moment. "This is insane." I remember only that my 10-year-old heart was stopped by the beauty of it all.
Was there a story in your life, like the story at the center of the novel, the story of a teenage girl who falls in love with a hood?
There was an incident in the neighborhood where I grew up that I didn't witness, and no one I've since spoken to has the story quite straight. Apparently there were a teenage couple who lived not too far from us who had eloped, and after they'd eloped, I suppose the girl had second thoughts and returned to her parents' house, and her then-husband came to the house one evening to try to get her. And what struck me about the incident and why I even knew anything about it was that it was an incident that was cited any number of times as I was growing up by people in the neighborhood when they were trying to illustrate what kind of neighborhood this was. They would talk about this night when there wasn't actually a fight. There was just an argument out on the front lawn between this girl's parents and this boy. But everyone in the neighborhood was ready to do whatever they had to do. And I discovered that many separate people I knew would remember that incident and cite that incident to say this was the character of our neighborhood. So it seemed to me it was a good place to start.
What would that say about the neighborhood?
Well, I think it was just that it was the piece of it, that this was an aberration, that something like this would happen.
I think that sitcoms and movies that are about growing up in the suburbs in the 1950s and early 1960s are very nostalgic, and they have the sense of, well, those were the days of innocence. And I think in many ways that your novel is the other side. It's about what was forbidden and what was dangerous during those so-called innocent times.
Yeah, well, I think it's important, and I suppose it was something that I always kept in mind as I was composing the novel. I think it's important not to distort what was because of where we're looking at it from. And I think it's also important to realize that although looking back we can say that was a particular time that seemed innocent, we didn't realize what was coming, what changes would take place, that this kind of suburban landscape would eventually change.
In your novel, the hoods have the role of the outlaws in town, and the suburban parents want to keep them out of the block and keep them out of the neighborhood. Do you have memories of that kind of thing from your block?
Not really. Again, mostly through hearsay. The composition of the novel was such that it was more the emotion, the feeling of what looking back is like that really generated all this. And then the characters, I suppose, came from many different places, things I'd seen and things I'd only heard about. But they belong, I think, probably exclusively to the world of the novel.
Toward the beginning, there's a scene where the hoods drive onto the block, and they're there to help support one of the hoods who's coming to claim his girlfriend, who he thinks is being withheld from him by her mother. And all the fathers from the neighborhood come out to ready to fight with the hoods to protect the daughter and the mother. Would you read that scene where the fighting breaks out between the fathers of the neighborhood and the hoods?
Sure. Until then, I had thought all violence was swift and sure-footed, somehow sleek, even elegant. I was surprised to see how poor it really was, how laborious and hulking. I saw one of the men bend under the blow of what seemed a slow-moving chain, and then, just as gracelessly, swing his son's baseball bat into a teenager's ear. I saw the men and the boys leap on one another like obese, short-legged children, sliding and falling, raising chains that seemed to crumble backward onto their shoulders, moving bats and hoes and wide rakes that seemed as unwieldy as trees. There were no clever D'Artagnan mid-air meetings of chain and snow shovel, no eye-to-eye throat grippings, no witty retorts and well-timed dodges, no winners. Only, in the growing darkness, 100 dumb, unrhythmical movements. Only blow after artless blow.
I really like that description, and I really like the way it captures how random the violence was and also how unskilled all the participants were in doing it. The violence in that scene interrupts the sense of control in the neighborhood. And it seems to me that that kind of control is something unique in a way to new suburbs where the families are young, there aren't old people in the neighborhood, and at the beginning there aren't even teenagers in the neighborhood. And you feel like, well, you can really control, keep out all of the outside elements.
Exactly, yeah, and I think that that was very much the point of those places. You had people who had come from inner cities, or at least had had their own childhoods in places that were not quite as safe and comfortable, and so they were well aware of that protection. And again, I think that goes back to why this incident was something that was talked about a great deal when I was growing up, because these were people who were aware of a dangerous world. They had experienced it themselves, and now they had found this haven.
Did writing this novel bring you back to your childhood in the suburbs?
Actually, it didn't. It's been funny since the book has been published. As friends of mine and family have been very reminiscent, and they've started talking about our old neighborhood, and it's made me realize how little I had thought about the neighborhood while I was writing the book, that the neighborhood of the novel seems to me to be something else entirely.
What's the difference between the neighborhood of the novel and the neighborhood you grew up in?
Probably basically it's the difference between any reality and what happens to it when it gets to fiction.
When you started to write this, did you think that a suburb like this might be a setting unworthy of fiction, of great fiction?
I certainly have noticed that most fiction, serious fiction that deals with this kind of neighborhood, does it in a slightly disdainful way, or uses sort of shorthand to say what needs to be said about the characters. If a fiction writer tells you that the characters shop at Kmart and eat Wonder Bread, then the writer seems to assume that you know everything you need to know about the characters. And that's always annoyed me. I think that fiction should pay as much good attention to characters from the suburbs as they do from characters from the Deep South and the Maine woods and the streets of Manhattan. And so I suppose in some ways I was attempting to give as much dignity to these characters as I've seen characters in any good fiction have.
Did you have to get old enough and to feel detached and distant enough from your childhood and your own suburban background before you felt that the suburbs could be a worthy setting?
I think that's probably true. And I think especially given the events of the novel, which are fairly simple and even cliched in some ways, there's nothing terribly unusual about what takes place in the novel. And I think years ago, when I was first writing fiction, that would have worried me far too much to even attempt it, that the story is just too familiar.
Well, you know, I have to say, I know what you mean, because in reading your novel, I kept thinking, this is really extraordinary. And in sifting it through my mind, I kept thinking, well, it's a familiar story. It's not exactly the story, it's the writing that's extraordinary.
Well, I hope so. Thank you. But that's, again, that comes back to the idea of paying as much attention to this kind of story and this kind of place as you would to something that on the surface seems much more exciting and interesting.
Alice McDermott's new novel is called That Night. She spoke to us from NPR station KPBS in San Diego.